This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One. Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway.
Partner there, stranger, outlaws how? Well, maybe you're from Texas.
I'm Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me in San Marcos, Texas. We're at the LBJ Museum, and we're here with...
I'm Wayne Kramer. I'm the president of the board of the LBJ Museum.
And I'm Ann Burnett, and I am a member of the board of the museum.
I've been to the LBJ Museum in Austin, as you know. I did not know that there was another museum here, and there's a practical reason why. Tell us about that.
There is indeed. Texas State University here in San Marcos is the only university in Texas to have graduated a U.S. president. When Lyndon Johnson was a student here, it was Southwest Texas State University at the time, or Southwest Texas Teachers College at the time, and he came here preparing to be a teacher. He actually taught after his freshman year in a little town called Cotulla, and then came back and finished his degree before again taking another teaching position down in Houston. So we sort of accentuate his college years, and we also look at the elements of the Great Society.
What part do you think that the university played in his time there was involved in the mix of his choice pathway of life?
Yeah. We recently visited with Lucy Johnson, and we were asking her some of these same types of questions. And she was very adamant about the fact that the university played an integral role in teaching him both leadership and other things along those lines with the positions that he had as a student, but also when he left and his experiences in Cotulla, his firsthand experiences with poverty. And those really created a big impression upon Lyndon. And so, you know, I like to think that Texas State played a great part in shaping him as the statesman that he was, and also as the leader that he was.
Well, his experience here at now Texas State University and his experience teaching the kids in Cotulla, Texas, certainly did influence the rest of his political life, and he was very proud as he rose up through Congress and then, of course, became vice president and ultimately president. He was very proud of the fact that he was graduated from Texas State Teachers College and not an Ivy League school. He felt that was something that was very important to his roots and important to the way that he related to his constituents.
In a lot of ways, he was truly a common man, more so than Lady Bird, in the sense that she came with a lot of money.
Right.
But he really didn't, right?
He came from meager beginnings, but amassed a great mass communication empire as well as a political empire.
But part of that was because of his wife, Lady Bird.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, she played a big influence on him.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit more about the museum here, when you opened it, what is here.
Okay. We are about to celebrate our 15th anniversary, and I think for a museum our size, that's quite an accomplishment. You know, a lot of museums don't last that long, but I think that we have a unique position in the community of San Marcos, and also our relationship with the university as well has enabled us to survive. You know, we've even had some challenges in the last couple of years with the pandemic and how do we remain viable in this type of environment. But the museum houses a couple of very interesting artifacts. We have the desk that Lyndon signed the Higher Education Act on in 1965. It was actually a desk that he had when he was a student here. He worked in the president's office, and that actually was his desk. And so we have that on loan from the university. We also have a special little exhibit on him as a student. I also, in addition to being on the board here, my real job is that I'm the director of the LBJ Debate Society at Texas State. So I coach the speech and debate teams there. And we got permission from the Johnson family quite a few years back now to use LBJ's name as the debate team. And so we have artifacts from his years as a debater. There's one particular photograph that gets a lot of mileage. It's of Professor H.M. Green, who was Lyndon's debate coach, and Lyndon's debate partner, Elmer Graham, who nobody remembers, and Lyndon as a debater. And we have things along those lines, in addition to other memorabilia about LBJ. We just recently got a packing trunk, that was distributed to Lyndon when he was a U.S. senator, and it has his autograph on it. And Lucy Johnson gave us that on loan, and so we have that now as one of our newer artifacts.
So what happens here? Like right now we're upstairs in the museum and it looks like a classroom. Do you do presentations here?
We do some programs. We have a fall lecture and a spring lecture.
And what's the thematic thread?
Just something relating to Lyndon.
It could be blue bonnets.
It could be. It could be to Lyndon or to Lady Bird or to other elements of the Great Society. So, you know, it might be on the space program. It might be on voting rights. So all things along those lines.
And we've been lucky to have a really stellar cast of speakers, speaking of space program. We've had people who have worked with Lyndon Johnson or with the family, people who worked in various government agencies during the Johnson administration, as well as scholars of the Johnson administration who have been very generous about sharing their knowledge with us here at the museum.
You know, we also offer some of our space to the public for different events and things along those lines, but that's pretty much what we do.
More nonprofit centered?
Yeah, a lot of nonprofit.
So what have you learned?
What have I learned?
Yeah, you know, relative to LBJ.
Well, you know, coming from a speech and debate perspective, and knowing that he was a debater, I already had some respect for him in that regard. But I think since my association with the museum, I've had more appreciation for him as a person and as a true leader. And his relationship both with Texas and his relationship with the people of Texas.
So that common man connection.
Yeah, common person connection, I think, is really, it's really pervasive through a lot of what he has done. You know, we're talking downstairs about his sense of place and how important that was to him. You know, the Johnson Ranch, the LBJ Ranch, the whole Johnson City area. And that sense of place, I think, transcends some of his decisions that he makes, right? He decided when he wanted to sign the Higher Education Act to sign it at his alma mater on a desk that he used as a student. When he decided to sign the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, he signed it where he went to school with his teacher, a former teacher, by his side. So a lot of those things, I think, give that common, that intimate touch that you don't always get now with politicians.
One thing that I've learned about President Johnson is that I knew the background of his life and I knew that he had come from this area of Texas. I'm not a native Texan myself, but I'm always impressed by the fact that he took pride in that. It wasn't just something that was part of his political story, and it also wasn't something that he ever tried to represent differently. He never put on airs. He was a poor boy from the hill country, and as Wayne was saying, it was very important for him to come back and mark some of these milestones of his presidency among the people that he'd grown up with. We see the same with the Rural Electrification Act. He really wanted to use his power to bring that back to the people of his community. I think that gave him a lot of motivation to not just help Texans, but then to apply those sorts of lessons to all Americans.
I think water was part of his legacy, too, very much,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, the sense of place is important. The ranch sits on the beautiful Pertinalis River. You know, and so bringing water to communities and having consistent supplies of water was important as well as the electricity, Pertinalis Electric Co-op.
And back to the ranch, that was the Texas White House.
Yep.
Incredible leaders from around the world, he'd bring them out there, right?
My favorite thing at the ranch, I know that that's not really the museum in San Marcos, but I can't really resist this story. He had an amphibious car, which to me is just hysterical. And, you know, he would be having some dignitary from around the world taking him on a tour of the ranch. And then they would be in the car, which was like a little convertible, and he would start heading down to the river. And he would start telling them, oh my gosh, I can't stop. The brakes won't work. And the car would go into the river. And of course, it's an amphibious car, so it's floating. And everybody else is bailing out. And he's just sitting there laughing.
And it's still there.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I think another thing that the ranch, as well as our museum, reminds people is the importance of Lady Bird Johnson to, obviously, to Lyndon Johnson personally, but also to his political career, because when I think about the ranch, I also think about all of her efforts at beautification and at conservation, yeah, and really understanding what we need to do ecologically, and how she took that not just from the ranch, she took that to Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. It was a part of her legacy forever, and we have some artifacts as well relating to, yeah, Lady Bird Johnson and some of the things that she brought to San Marcos.
I think her highway beautification was, oh, yeah, a real seminal legacy that lives on.
It does, yeah. You know, still, every spring, I look forward to traveling through the hill country and, mm-hmm, seeing the results of that, seeing all the bluebonnets and Indian paintbrush and all the other wildflowers along the highways.
And you can go out to the ranch, certainly, and look at that, but everywhere in Hays County, which is where we are, you see them everywhere. So, yeah, that is always a reminder and a very delightful reminder, yep, of her influence.
It's a harbinger of spring when that first bluebonnet comes up.
Anything you want to add about the museum here in San Marcos?
Well, it's a small museum, I think, but it's an intimate museum. And I think that also allows us to have maybe a little bit more intimate look at Lyndon Johnson, the person, as well as the Lyndon Johnson, the politician.
I agree. Y'all come.
Yeah.
We would love to meet folks and to take them through these exhibits, yeah, that Wayne has talked about that really do give a glimpse of some of the more personal aspects of his life that were important to his public life.
To learn more, where would you direct somebody? Website or Facebook?
Our website, yeah. Just Google LBJ Museum of San Marcos. My name is Wayne Kramer.
And I'm Ann Burnett.
And I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from San Marcos, Texas. We'll see you here.
Under the X in Texas. Now I'm sitting here looking at a map. I got laid out on my lap. And there ain't too many places I ain't been. But the one place I love best is spread out all over the West. And I'm trying to figure how to get back home again. Right now, I wish I was heading right under the X in Texas. Right in the heart of where my heart must be.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities, such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolf, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives, and Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust Preservation Initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. And in fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.